We have found ourselves in very challenging times in our nation and even in other parts of the world. There are wars taking place. And whether you recognize it for what it is a war right here in our nation that we are in the middle of. So I want to lean into this and see how it feels. I just don't want to say something and it not connect. But I believe you're here because you came to hear from God. Amen. It's not my intention to pontificate. Do you know what that word means? It means to speak or express opinions in a pompous or dogmatic way. We got enough pontificators out there. We got a whole lot of them. Nor is it my desire or intention to entertain you. We got too many. We got enough of those. And for too long we've been entertained, but not changed. We've been entertained, but we haven't grown. Now, I know in my heart of hearts, I have truly, truly endeavored to teach, train, equip, activate, and release, and see believers mature. And in many ways, we have. And I'm praying for more of that to happen. But this is the way Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 2 through 4. He says, "For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the power of the Spirit and of power." That's what we want. That's what we need. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read just two passages starting out here out of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 15. It says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Grapes are not gathered from the bushes, nor figs from the thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad trees, bad fruit." Team, you can come down. Would you please just come on down? Would you thank the Lord for our worship team? Yes, thank you. They get out here every day early so that we can find the places in God before you get here, so we know, at least have some idea where we're going. I'm grateful for each one of them. Great sacrifice to do it. It says, "Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruit. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" What he's saying there, at least this is my interpretation of it, is, yes, you did those things, but you didn't do them for me. You did them for yourself. You did them to draw people to you, not point them to me. Most of what you did, I never called for it. But the Bible says the gifts and callings are without repentance, which means you can operate in some gifts and still be just so far off. Is that a Starbucks for me? Okay, I'm sorry, I got distracted. I saw a Starbucks container. Hallelujah. But I would ask somebody, can somebody just, would you just take that and try to warm that up somewhere? Thank you, Pastor Jamal. Secondly, I want to read, and Pastor Deborah, I'm not sure, just based on my notes, if this is still in this same area of Scripture. It goes on and says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared like a wise man. How many wise folk do we have here today? It's okay. It's not pride or arrogant to say, I believe I'm wise based on what it says here. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man. We got any foolish folk in here? Don't raise your hands. And I'm not going to point to anybody. will be like a foolish man. I'm not even going to look up. Who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against the house and it fell and great was its fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. Okay. He's making the distinction here. He said, it's not just those that hear my word, but those that do it as well. Those that receive my word, they're the ones that are going to be founded on a firm foundation, yes. Built on the rock. But those who hear my word never really apply it. It's like them building on sand, an unstable, a faulty foundation. And I don't mind telling you, unfortunately, right now, we're going to begin to see more of that unfold. There's a line of demarcation that's being drawn. And if I was to use a thought in what I'm about to share, I would pose it in this question, I guess. Are you church? Are you church attendees or kingdom advancers? Yeah. From church attendee to kingdom advancer. We got a lot of folks that go to church. We got a lot of people that go to church. What church do you go to? We tell them what church we go to. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you've never come into the place of being a kingdom advancer, then we're back to the message that I shared quite a while ago. It's time to step into all the kingdom and not just through the door, Eddie. You know what I'm saying? Where we get saved, we love God, we're going to heaven, but we never step out into the expanse of the kingdom that causes us to understand what Paul talks about in Ephesians, praying that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened so that we would know. He's just simply saying coming into the awareness when we read the scriptures, like he's able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we could ask or think according to the power that works within us. He's talking about finding that place in the expanse of the kingdom. I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, but I'm trying to see as much as the kingdom become a reality right now before I leave here. That's our mandate, to make his kingdom our reality. And so therein lies the challenge, whether you are a church attendee or kingdom advancer. And this is why it's crucial. As we approach this upcoming presidential election, there will be potentially, thank you, prophet's reward. I don't know what it is for coffee versus water, but you can get that too. So pray this prayer with me. Father, give me eyes to see and give me ears to hear. I open my heart to not just hear your word, receive your word, and do my part to fulfill the advancement of your kingdom in the earth. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we approach this upcoming presidential election, there will be potentially greater upheaval, violence, violent acts, and division in our nation. It is imperative that we, the body of Christ, recognize and respond in this crucial hour. The world is looking for answers and solutions to problems that will not be found without the acknowledgement and the surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone is our only hope, and he is the final answer. Now, I just want to talk to you. I'm not going to try to preach this, teach this. I'm just talking to you. The realities of what is ahead of us is this. There are no laws. Say no laws.
No laws.
There are no laws or legislation that changes the heart. At best, it governs the actions of a person. That's why God gave the commandments in Exodus chapter 20 and in other locations, gave the commandments to Moses. Why? To tell the people how to live and relate to him until his word was written in their hearts. Only then is the law no longer needed. Now, let me say that in a different way. You remember that when God got Moses' attention in Exodus, I believe around chapter 3, he saw the burning bush, or the bush that looked like it was burning, but it wasn't burning. And he said, I will now set aside and go see what this is. And when he gets there, you remember what God says to him? He says, Moses, I need you to take your shoes off, for the ground you're standing on is holy. Basically, he's saying, I need to give you some ground rules here, unless I have to kill you. So when God spoke these laws, he knew he was dealing with a people who did not know him. He knew that he was dealing with a people, his people, who had not come into a place of relationship with him. They were well on their way, but he knew they weren't ready. And he knew that if he did not give them some laws to set in place, out of their ignorance, they could get in trouble. So he gives Moses the laws in order to govern their behavior until their hearts were truly turned to him. You see, when the heart has been made new, the law is no longer needed. Is this making sense to you? In Psalms 119, 11 through 16, the psalmist writes, he says, your word have I hid or treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. He's saying, I have put my word in your heart. It has become, if you will, the calibrator. It is the umpire of everything going on in my life. It keeps me straight. It keeps me on the narrow. I don't need your law because it's in my heart. I don't live for God because I don't want to go to hell. I live for God because I love him. And because I love him, I don't need his laws to keep me. I'm going to keep myself because I love you. I'm going to honor the covenant. It's how a marriage lasts. You honor the covenant. Even in the best of marriages, you can fall in and out of love, but that covenant will keep you tight and right. The writer here says, your word is in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. So the laws that are out there, and those that are trying to pass these laws and these kinds of regulations, it really has to do with governing the way that we live, the actions of a person, of a community, of a nation. Here's the problem. The hearts of men are evil. That's what it says in Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. The hearts of men are evil. Laws that are in place, now hear me, laws that are in place, I'm getting real close now. Laws that are in place to ban abortion and gay rights will only cause those who believe it is their right to choose and live their preferred life to break those laws, as many are already doing. The laws to address injustice, inequity, inequality will only be as effective as those who believe that those changes are needed. Unfortunately, those practices, lifestyles, and beliefs will not stop or change under any person or any political party who wins the White House. Why would I say that? Well, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5 says this. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, that means lacking self-restraint, fierce, despisers, hear me now, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. This is our current reality. And what's really sad is when he gets to that last part and says, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, I need you to hear this in the context. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. You got to connect what I just said with this part right here. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. He's talking to his church. He's talking to the church. He's talking to those believers who are in those settings with those who are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I don't want to say I need, but I want to help you understand that God is moving throughout his body, and he's toppling tables like Jesus did in the marketplace. He's toppling ministries like Jesus did in the marketplace. And unfortunately for some of them, it's in the places where they're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. When you talk more about what you can get from God than what you can do for God, or God can do through you, You may very well fit in that category. And he says, having a form of godliness. Yeah, sing the right kind of worship songs, sing the popular worship songs, got the right kind of dress, the right kind of voice, right kind of whatever, you know, all of the things that are external. But it's just a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, not really looking or believing for a move of God, not really open to the moving of Holy Spirit. And what we have to know is that there are many who will gather in that kind of setting. There are many who will gather in that setting because they, where there is no power, where there is no power, there is no transformation. Where there is no real power, I'm talking about the moving of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I'm going to use that ghost. Yeah, I'm Holy Spirit. No, I'm talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. You will not see the transformative power of God that transforms lives, that brings souls to salvation, that heals the sick, that casts out demons, folks get set free. The writer is saying, get away from that. Turn away from that. And so what we see right now, again, is God is shifting. I love Pastor Deborah's teaching and word on that, the shifting. He is shaking and sifting and shifting.
Yes. Yes, he is.
My time is limited. So I've got about 15 more minutes here, 20 minutes, and then I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Jamal, and he's going to clean up everything I said. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
I'm sorry, y'all, my mind just be all over the place. Like I said, y'all still with me? And then I thought about Peter when it says he followed Jesus afar off, but I know you're not doing that. I know I'm kind of schizophrenic or something. Pray for me. In my mind, I'm like, I'm not schizophrenic. I'm creative. Hey, how you doing, man? I'm praying for you. Your best days are ahead of you. I'm telling you, my best days are ahead of me. I said that for you, but my best days are ahead of me. I see you in the future, and you look much better than you look right now. Come on, that's a good time to clap. America is no longer governed by the Bible, but rather the Constitution of the United States. For this reason, there is no real acknowledgement of or consideration given to the Scriptures. At the United States Supreme Court level, those who are trying to lead righteously must contend with those who do not share the same convictions and the spiritless, capital S, spiritless interpretations and applications of the Constitution. This is our reality, church. And can I help you understand why I am taking the time to do this? It's because this is happening on our watch. Yes. Yes. You do understand you could have been born at any other time, but you're here now. Uh-huh. And we have to ask ourselves the question, why was I born now? Why was I born then to be here now? Yes. For such a time as this. So let me talk a little bit about the church's response and responsibility. The church must continue in intercession. And that place of intercession is mercy.
Yes.
God wants to elevate us, you, me, all of us, to the place where we're not praying about our stuff. We're praying about his stuff. That's the place of intercession. The church must continue in intercession for mercy.
That's right.
2 Chronicles 7, you know this passage. 2 Chronicles 7, starting in verse 12, it says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice." Now, I want you to notice that what he's doing there is he is making a statement of his commitment to Solomon and what has been established, what's been built. And then he qualifies it by this statement here. He says he wants him to understand what this really means, this level of commitment he's making to Solomon. He says, "If I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people," now I want you to understand right there, he's talking about judgment. If there ever comes a time when I have to judge my people, if there ever comes a time when I have to judge the nation, then he gives this qualifier.
Thank you, Lord.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. What is the church's response and the church's responsibility? To move into this place of intercession for mercy. And then he goes on and he says, "Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place." He's talking about this agreement, this place of covenant. He's talking about this place. "For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever. And mine eyes and my ears shall be there perpetually." He's saying, when everything else and everyone else is in a state that causes me to judge, those of you here in this place, when you pray, that's why I just wish just a few more of you would have been here today for intercession. Sandra Sosa led that intercession, and she cried out in such a way that you couldn't help but be moved by it. We all were broken over. She sat right on them steps and she just wailed. You could hear her heart. You could hear the heart of the Father.
Yes, amen. That's right.
And my prayer, hear me, heirs. I'm talking to those of you connected to this house. My prayer is that God will stir in your hearts and move you to a place that in the midst of your busy life, you will recognize that as you sacrifice and make time for him in the company of the saints, that you will see things begin to shift and move on your behalf, because you have made it clear, I don't care what's going on, I don't care what breaks hell or high water, God, you are priority. I'm gonna clap right there. You are priority. You are priority.
Yes, yes, yes.
The church must continue. We must continue in intercession. We cry out for mercy and that God moves sovereignly through his church, that his will and his kingdom will be further established in our nation and in the earth. We cannot and we must not underestimate the power of prayer, the power of intercession, nor the power of repentance. See, what God is speaking right there, he's saying, even though they're messing up, if you pray, if you repent, they'll get the benefit of your intercession. They'll get the benefit of your repentance. But you can't intercede without identifying with those with whom you are praying for. That's the key right there. In the book of Nehemiah, I'm gonna make this point, and then I'm gonna end this for now, and I'm gonna pick it up on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Nehemiah, hearing about the plight of his people and how that the walls of Jerusalem had broken down and the gates were tore off, when he went before God, he didn't say they, he said we. The Bible makes it clear we are in the world, but not of the world. We have the power. We have the authority. And we have the right to speak into all that's happening, because that's why the church is here.
Thank you, Lord.
The day that the church is no longer here on earth, it's going to look a whole lot different. It looks crazy now. But it's going to get a whole lot crazier. My prayer and my desire is that when a time of prayer is called, you respond. We respond. Not just a few folks or a handful of folks. All of our lives are impacted by what's happening right now. And I'm not speaking as a prophet of doom. I am speaking truth. It's about to get real bad. And this is a word that God has given to help you and I be prepared for what is coming. I'm not mad. I'm just serious. We can no longer be church attendees only. We must move into the place of kingdom advances. I was real blessed having a conversation with Janice earlier, and I was joking with Janice, because she oftentimes on Sundays and things, she's at her radio program, and she's working. Kingdom business. And she says to me, well, you did say go change the world, didn't you? She said, I'm out here changing the world. I said, really? We're changing the world. She said, people call in and we pray for them. And we pray for healing. We pray for salvation. She said, I'm out here changing the world. And when I speak to this on Wednesday, I'm going to speak to it more clearly about what it means for us, for you and I, to be out there changing the world. So I'm done for now. I hope this speaks to your heart. Those that are watching by way of live stream, I hope it speaks to you. I know it to be a word of God. I know it to be a word from the Lord.